Christ me when he said, go and tell? How can you do just that? Hello and welcome to Love and Encouragement to Live By. I'm Tammy Thompson, a Christian author under the pen name of T.S. Thompson, and you can find out more about my books by visiting my website at ts-thompson.com.
And I'm Jo Heather Dodson, founder of Your Christian Coach. Discover more about my coaching services at yourchristiancoach.net. Thanks for joining in today for your weekly dose of love and encouragement as we interview pastor and mission strategist Jeff Joyce about going on mission to inspire your deeper Christian living. Well, guys, I am so excited to have Jeff Joyce on the show today. Jeff and I grew up in the same community in Randolph County, North Carolina, where we're coming to you from today. And the reason I wanted him to join us on the podcast is because every time I hear Jeff speak, his enthusiasm and passion for Jesus is infectious. You're going to get to hear firsthand Jeff's unquenchable desire for missions work and revival among believers locally and around the world. So, to share just a little bit about him to get us started. After graduating from college and starting his career in accounting, Jeff answered the call to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He served as a minister for 25 years before becoming the mission strategist for the Randolph Baptist Association. And you'll learn more about Jeff and his walk with God as we go. So welcome to the podcast, Brother Jeff.
Hey, ladies, it's good to be with you today. I thank you for this opportunity to share about what the Lord's been doing in my life.
Yeah, and welcome, because I'm so excited to hear. I mean, Jo Heather knows you. This is all new to me, just like it is for those tuning in. So I'm really excited. So Jeff, I'm looking forward to hearing about more about you and what and the actions that you've taken around your call to Jesus to go and tell. That's what we're talking about today. Yeah. Go and tell. Yep. And so I'm going to read the passage from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20 for our listeners.
Okay.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, I know our listeners will be inspired to hear what you've witnessed in your mission experiences. So let's get started. So I understand, Don and Jo Heather, that your formal missions work started with a trip to Eastern North Carolina after some flooding years ago. So can you tell us about that, Jeff?
Yeah, like Joanna said, we grew up in rural Randolph County. I grew up in a small traditional Southern Baptist church, and we didn't hear much about missions. We didn't do much of missions. We just kind of did church. But when I was about 26, God called me into ministry full time. And I was exposed to a different way of life, or a different way of Christian life. I went to Temple Baptist Seminary in Chattanooga, became part of Highland Park Baptist Church, eventually went on staff there. It was a 3,000-member church, and they had a little saying that the sun never sets on the ministry of Highland Park Baptist Church. They had missionaries around the world, and missionaries were constantly coming in and sharing about things they were doing. And they did missions conferences and kids were leaving the college and going full time on the mission field. And I just thought, man, this is awesome. This is what the Lord wants us to be doing. And so after about 4.5 years, the Lord called me back to my home church to be the pastor. I was about 30 years old and had a family of four, but I knew that missions was going to be a part of what our church needed to be doing. If we were going to be what God wanted us to be, we needed to be getting outside of the four walls of the church and reaching people for the cause of Christ. And so, how do you do that? How do you do that at a church that's 100 years old that has never done that? And so we decided to take baby steps. And there were things like North Carolina Baptist had missions camps, they have children's homes, and they were calling out for people to come up and fix things and clean up. And so we'd take men's groups up there and say, you know, let's go weed eat for the day, or let's go, you know, we had all kind of talented people, let's go fix a building for them or whatever. And so that's how we started. That's what we started to do. We started trying to get that buy-in from the church, and it was pretty exciting. People started to doing that. They started getting involved in that. And then in 99, 2000, somewhere in there, the Floyd hit and the whole East Coast of North Carolina got wiped out. And they were pleading with people to come down and just tear out stuff. And we took groups down and we would tear out houses and homes and see people that had just lost everything. And just going in and helping them do tasks they never could do. And our folks getting to talk with them, you know, seeing how they were hurting, seeing what they were going through. And it impacted them. It really impacted, it really changed. You know, here we are in Randolph County. We've been blessed. We've been safe. But we can go, you know, 100 miles, 80 miles down the road. And man, here's people that's lost everything. And we can make a difference in their life. And I started seeing people that had been in the church, you know, for their whole life, 50, 60, 70 years. I remember one story. There was a gentleman who, when I came to church, he told me, he had made it a point to tell me, there's no reason that a church should be more than 150 people. It's just ridiculous. And of course, we didn't see eye to eye on that. But I remember that same gentleman several years later, I'm walking through a grocery store and I hear somebody inviting this person to come to church. And I go around the corner and it's that guy. And he is now inviting people to come to his church where we're reaching out and helping people. And it was just amazing to see the church start to transform from being just focused on what was going on inside their building to start being focused on, hey, man, there's a hurting world out here that needs to know our Jesus. And we can be the hands and feet to take that to him. And that's kind of how it all got started. Just, you know, going out and helping some people that had been in the midst of a flood and lost everything.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. It just sounds like it was that heart change. You know, it starts out like sometimes mm-hmm. sometimes in our Christian journey, we start out and we go, okay, what boxes do I need to tick? Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to show up for church. I'm going to be in a Sunday school class. I'm going to tithe, you know, I'm going to be present, these kinds of things. And, you know, you kind of invited this congregation to join you of going out and like you said, embodying the hands and feet. And I mean, that's what we wanted you to have on to inspire others who mm-hmm. are listening. Maybe they've never gone outside the walls of their church to be the hands and feet of Christ to others. And that's what we want you to hear what Jeff's sharing today and to be inspired by that.
And I think I think that's what They're good folks, love the Lord. They've just never been exposed. They'd never thought of doing things different than how they had done it for 100 years. And exposing them to it, and they realize this is what Scripture says. This is what we need to be doing, and we can do it. We can make that connection. It was amazing.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's that starting small. Like you said, let's just give this a try, you know, just introducing yourself to the richness of serving others mm-hmm. outside right. of your immediate community. I mean, because yep. it sounds like it lit the fire so that it eventually this concept of missions and hands and feet and going kind of spread throughout all the ministry efforts at yeah. your church.
That's right. It did. You know, as our folks start getting excited about what was going on and what they were doing, we said, all right, how do we keep this going? How do we get this to not just these few people that have been on these trips to help at the hurricane or go down to the children's home, but how do we spread that across our church and keep this momentum going? And so we decided that we were going to create a missions team, just a group of people. They weren't a voted in thing. And for Baptist Church, it's unusual not to have people voted in or something. So we just decided we're going to have a team of people. And once a month, we're going to get together. And what all we're going to talk about is how can we keep missions in front of our church? How can we involve missions in everything we do? Sunday school is missions because we need to get people in. Vacation Bible school is missions. You know, women's ministry is missions. You know, everything. And so I would listen. And man, these folks start having some wonderful ideas of things we could do. We played in a basketball league. Yeah, great. We're going to play in a basketball league, but how's it going to be part of missions? You know, we're going to invite people to come that's not in our church, but we liked winning, but it wasn't about winning. It was about, hey, if you're going to come play on our basketball team, you got to come to church. You got to hear about Jesus. And so we had a great time doing that. I remember our church sponsored a softball league. And so all the teams would come into softball league. And one of our missions team meetings, they said, you know what we need to do? We need to adopt each and every one of these softball teams. And we need to send fans to their games. We need to make bags of candy for the players, got gum, sunflower seeds. And I was like, you know, these people don't know you, right? And they're like, we don't care. And so they would make up treat bags, carry to the teams, and then they would cheer for them. And I'd like, you're cheering against us. You know, we're playing in this league and our own church people are cheering against us. But there's no telling how many of those guys in that softball league said, what are y'all doing? And we'd have them come and visit church and we'd get to have conversations with them about the Lord. And we always would open every game with the two teams out praying, close the games with them praying. And it's just everything we tried to do, getting involved in the schools. It was amazing. Randolph County, the principals would let us come in and invite us in. And we have incidences where things would happen at school. And the first call that the principal would make would be to our office and say, hey, we got this child. We know they go to your church. The parents have given us permission. Can you come and talk to them? It was just amazing. But it started infiltrating into every aspect of our church. You know, there's a passage in Acts 1:8, and we kind of adopted it. And it says to be witnesses, you know, you've been given the authority to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the most part of the world. And we tell them, you know, we need to start at home. Jerusalem's our home. We need to start here. And then we'll start spreading out and start going other places. And then we put a banner up at the church. It was, from the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, we put it over the door. People have done this before, but we would kind of focus on it. It says, come and see. The Samaritan woman, John 4:29, after she had finished her conversation with Jesus, she went back to her town and she said, you need to come and see this man. And the last verse in that chapter says that these folks went out to see Jesus and they told her, said, you know, we've heard him now. It's not because of what you said. It's because of what we've heard. We believe he's the Christ, the Savior of the world. And that's what we would challenge folks. We'd say, hey, guys, you've heard about it. You know it. Now let's go out there and let's share that with others so they can come and see this Jesus you know. So go and tell so they can come and see so they can go and tell. And that's what we were. And man, this people just bought into it. The Lord started working in people's heart and we started seeing that take place.
Wow. I'm just amazed, Jeff, so far. I'm just so excited about listening to all that you're sharing. You're saying so much. I mean, you're talking as fast as me just to try and get it all packed in there in this episode. I mean, and I just love, you know, early on when you were talking about missionaries coming in, if your church doesn't have, I mean, I prefer to go to a church that has the missionaries coming in because it knows mm-hmm. that they're going out behind. And I love it when missionaries come in and show.
Yeah.
It is so moving because, you know, especially when they're showing what they're doing for people that have less than you.
Yes.
It really puts things in perspective, especially, you know, people are always feeling like they're struggling. And when you hear something else, you know, and just the work that's done, it's like, wow, the work is great. Just like what Jesus was saying, you know, we need more people in the field.
That's right.
Right. The call to it. And I love how your church, where you brought this team together, because one person can't come up with all the ideas. God works through people. Yeah. Right. And
that's
just
right.
Saying, hey, come and bring your ideas forth and let the Holy Spirit work through all those people. And look what all they did. I'm just like, wow. I mean, and you guys made it fun because, you know, that's how you get people involved, right? You have things around their interests so you attract people, but you always kept Christ as the focus. And
that's right.
I just think that's amazing. So I just want to take a moment here and just pause Yeah, to let people know how they can find us. So depending upon what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. But the most important thing you can do is to share this podcast with your family and friends. Maybe people in your church say, hey, we got to start this up. Listen to this guy, Jeff. We really need to have this in our church because we don't, right? Or if you do, maybe you can figure out how to expand upon it and do more. And on our website at loveandencouragement.com, we feature early access to our podcast every Wednesday. And if you want to, to save some time, we'll email it to you. Just go to our website. We have a form. Fill it out, and we'll email you the podcast every Wednesday. So back to our interview with Jeff. Now, Jeff, I understand. I know we were talking a lot about North Carolina and what you're doing locally, but then you grew on that. So I understand that you spent about 8 years doing mission work mm-hmm. with a team in Alaska. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty far from North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
So I'm really curious to see how the Lord, worked that in and how that timing came about.
Well, we said, we wanted to start small. We wanted to, kind of dive into this thing a little bit at a time. But we realized that, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world, we got to start doing the whole thing. And the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina had a partnership with Alaska. And they had all these different things you could do in Alaska. But I didn't know how to go about all that. I just got the book and it said, here's some opportunities in Alaska. I didn't know you were supposed to go through the office and talk to certain people and get everything set up. I just called the missionary. I looked at it and I picked up the phone and called the missionary. Well, it was about 9 o'clock in the morning in North Carolina, which is 5 o'clock in the morning in Alaska. I didn't know any of that stuff. I didn't think about any of that stuff. I just thought, hey, it's 9, they should be up by now. So the missionary answered the phone, and he was rather grumpy. and I thought, I hung up the phone, and I'm like, dude, don't you know we're going to come and help you? What in the world? Why are you so grouchy? And then all of a sudden it hit me. Oh, it's 5 o'clock in the morning there, that was my first thing to learn about doing missions away from home, is that there's different time zones in this world and they operate on different things. But we did. We ended up working that out, and I took a team of six and we flew up to a village in northwestern part of Alaska. It was 60 miles north of the Arctic Circle. There was a village of about 300 people. You could drive around the whole village and 20 minutes. we had to fly in. There was no other way to get in. You could take a boat, but it would take a while. You couldn't drive there. So we flew in, and I remember when we landed, I had two teenagers, a 20-year-old young man, and three adults. And the others were adults too, but older people, we'll put it like that. So we landed, and the two teenage girls started crying. They're like, we're 3,700 miles from home. We want to go home. What are we doing here? Because nobody was there to meet us. We're wandering around on this airport in the middle of nowhere. But we fell in love with those people. There were probably 30, 35 youth that ended up coming to our vacation Bible school that week. We just fell in love with them. And when we did the last night, we had some mix-ups on our departure time, and we had to cut our event short. And I remember walking, leaving the church there in Kiana, and the place was packed. They had all kind of people that showed up to see their kids show off for Vacation Bible School. And when we walked back to the airport, it's probably 3/4 of a mile. I remember we had walked down all by ourselves, these girls crying. When we walked back, there was about 200 people walking with us.
Wow.
Just begging us to stay, pleading with us to stay. When the pilot was there to meet us, everybody's crying, hugging each other. They're begging us to stay. The Eskimos sat on the wings of the airplane so they couldn't leave. so the pilot couldn't leave. And he finally came to me and he said, man, you got to get these guys off my plane. We've got to get out of here before the storm comes in. And we all were on that plane flying out. Nobody said a word for the first 10 minutes. Everybody just sobbing. Mm. And the boy that was with me, he looked at me and he said, if I didn't have a wife and daughter at home, I'd tell this pilot to turn around. I'd go back. And so that started. We did that for next year. Same six went back and, you know, didn't know what to expect. It was wonderful. And we ended up for 8 years. We were taking two teams, three teams. I ended up going to another different village. It was just wonderful. Matter of fact, it got to the point where we wanted to be able to help other people do missions, other churches do missions. And this original church that we went to in Cayenne, they wanted to do a missions trip. They didn't have any money. And so our church paid to fly the missionaries and four of the Eskimos to our church, and they did Vacation Bible School with us. So we were helping them do missions. And that was a wonderful idea, except I didn't realize that how hot it would be for Eskimos in North Carolina in the summertime. They're not used to it being that warm, and they about melted. But it was you know, just wonderful. And still today, that's been, I think the last time we were up there, we went up and did, my son and I went up and a couple other people and did basketball camp for them. Had a couple of different villages come in and did talk basketball camp and did different Bible studies and things with them in 2009, I think was the last time that we were there. And I still got people, I call them kids. They're not kids anymore. They're grown with children that contact us on a regular basis. We talk to them all the time about, you know, how they're walking with the Lord. And when they need something, man, they're calling us. We're praying for them out of those relationships that were built those 7 or 8 years in Alaska. It's amazing.
Yeah. Wow. Those are amazing stories, like you said, Jeff, and to hear the relationships and the seeds that were planted and how they've taken root and grown. So we're going to talk in just a minute about Jeff's experience going from domestic missions to international missions. As a part of that, we want to do a sponsor ministry spotlight. And now I'd like to share that today's sponsor spotlight is about Ebenezer International Ministries. Executive Director and missionaries Haile Tafara and his wonderful wife Sadali serve the people of Ethiopia, the land of their birth. As young adults, they moved to America, raised three girls, and became successful business owners. After 15 years in the United States, the Lord called Haile and Sadali back to Ethiopia to start a school, support numerous orphans, and establish a printing ministry. Since 2007, God has blessed and grown these efforts in significant ways. In 2017, they officially established Ebenezer International Ministries to help spread the news about the Lord's work and raise money for their efforts. Jeff is going to share more about this ministry, but if you would like to look them up, check out EbenezerIM.org. That's EbenezerIM.org. If you'd like to sponsor a future episode of this podcast by featuring your favorite ministry effort, contact us at loveandencouragement.com. So coming back to you, Jeff, so you had these successful experiences domestically, and here the relationships are continuing. So then I think you said your next stop was you branched out to Peru. So how did the Lord lead you to going international with your missions work?
Again, we were, you know, had this concept out of Acts 1:8. We want to do Samaria and uttermost parts of the world. And we knew that English was difficult for some of us. So coming up with a foreign language, speaking a foreign language, is really going to be hard. And so that's why we did that intermediate step to Alaska and just had a wonderful partnership there. And we were praying about doing international work. And our associate pastor, took our youth and became involved with a youth ministry, and they had a missionary come in and speak to the kids at the youth event. His name was Mike Kennedy, and he was with New Life Children's Home in Senegia, Peru. And so he came back, and our kids had put together Bibles. They had had a chance to go do whatever they wanted to on their free time, and they elected to put together Bibles to send to these missionaries. And so, of course, he was very grateful, and he thanked our youth group. And so, you know, they come back all fired up, and they want to go to Peru. And so the first trip, our youth pastor took a group of youth and youth leaders, and they went to Senegia, right outside of Lima, and to the children's home and worked there and just had a great time. And that started a process that over the next 10 years, every other year, we would take a group to Peru and work with Mike Kennedy there. And we could do all kind of things. They would let us go into the schools and we'd take food into the children there in the schools and could share the gospel. They had a ministry where children would be turned over and kept that were found on the streets, and they had a holding facility for them, and you know, just devastating circumstances. And we could go in there and our kids could play volleyball with them or, you know, play games with them and just minister to them and share with them and love on them a little bit. And then, of course, at the children's home, there was 20 or 30 kids, and every night you'd come back and just play with kids, love on kids. That was an awesome experience to get to be a part of all the things that were going on with that ministry. And, you know, so we were here. Now we were at the point where we're saying, all right, we're going to do a national trip, a stateside trip 1 year. And then the next year we'll do international. So we're going back and forth doing one. And eventually we got to the point where we had enough people that wanted to be a part of it, that we were doing a national trip 1 year and an international trip 1 year. I mean, doing two a year, one at each place. And just, you know, just not to think we're not a mega church. I mean, we're not hundreds, thousands of people. You know, we were running 200, 250 in worship, 100, 150 in Sunday school. We're spending, and this is people, you know, that are generating money, you know, $30,000 to $50,000 a year towards missions. I would just continue to tell our church folks, you know, God's blessing us because of this. We're seeing people locally come to Christ, grow in their faith, families being a part of our ministry, because we're doing what's dear and near to the heart of God, and that's taking his message around the world. And it's just been amazing to see. I mean, they're still doing a lot of those same things. COVID's kind of shut down a lot of the going places some, but still doing a lot of those same things.
Thank you for taking time to join us today, Jeff. There is so much more to share, so I encourage our listeners to tune in next week to hear part two of Go and Tell. And just as a reminder to our listeners, depending on what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. If you want to be a sponsor of a future episode, contact us at loveandencouragement.com. Join us again next week as we continue to offer you words of encouragement that remind you of God's awesome love.